You have to love any parable that ends with outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. For starters, it's just a fun phrase to say, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But more seriously, it is not the easy parable we think it is, this parable of the talents and the servants. We have read it too often as simply about stewardship and being sure to take care of what we have been given. And it is certainly also about that. But I think it has left us complacent. Parables are not meant to leave us complacent. They are meant to leave us surprised. So allow me to try. What if, the master in this parable is in fact not God? It's a question I certainly face with some relief. I like a God who does not cast slaves out into the outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. I find that prospect a little relieving. But it leaves us with two questions. First, who then is this master, and where are we to find God in this parable? Well, let's deal with the first one. There have to be some Douglas Adams fans out there, and one of the many Douglas Adams quotes I like is, "I like deadlines. I enjoy the whooshing sound they make as they fly past." I don't get to enjoy that very much. You all would notice if I didn't have a sermon every Sunday. Although occasionally my friends on Facebook indicate what I could do instead of a sermon. But I think the master is the deadline, the end of the age. This is an eschatological parable. It's about what happens next, or at least what happens at the beginning of what happens next. Or at least that's certainly one other way to read it. Which brings us to our second question. Where then is God? Or where is Jesus in this parable, if he is not just the storyteller? What if Jesus is the first slave, the one who was given 10 talents? At the end, he starts with 5 and he comes back with 5 more. We wind up with 10. How does that change who God is? It's an appropriate reading of the task of the Messiah, certainly, to whom much has been entrusted, who accomplishes much more than anyone else can, and to whom much more will be entrusted. But it also raises another question. What then are the talents? As I trust you have all heard, a talent is much more money than any one slave could ever hope to have. It's about 20 years of work. So to be given 5 of them is to become instantly wealthy. What the slave was entrusted with was infinitely precious. It's sort of like being trusted with us. What if we are the talents? What if the salvation of the world, of the people in the world, are the talents? The parable is a little different now, isn't it? Which leaves us with a few other questions. What are we to do with the other two servants, these other two slaves, the one who starts with 2 talents and ends with 4, and the one who starts with 1 talent and ends with nothing? Well, I'm going to propose that we can be in two places at one time. I think we are also the second servant, who have also been entrusted with much, but not an equal share. Every now and then, when people find out what I do, they tell me that I must have an incredible job, weighty and full of responsibility because I am charged with saving souls. And being something of a smart aleck, and occasionally annoyed by this, I always respond that that is not my job, that is God's job. My job is just to take care of the people I have. We are also the second servant, in charge of taking care of what we have, who receive much when we take care of that, and to whom much risk is also accorded. Nothing like Jesus, thankfully, in terms of our weight and responsibility, but also a little bit like Jesus. Much has been entrusted to us. And when we act faithfully, much is given to us in response. And then there is that last servant. Well, there are always those who do not know what to do with what they have been given. And it is always a tragedy, isn't it? How does the parable sound now? It's about money. It is always about money. It is about what we do with everything we have been given. But it is also about us in a very different way. It is about how we nurture the relationships we have been given with one another, with God. And the deadline is not quite whooshing past us yet. It's not going to sneak up on us in the middle of the night, perhaps. And when we are called to account, we will know that we stand there in good company. I like this reading of the parable slightly better. There are many other ways to read a parable. One of the things to enjoy about them is there are stories we get to enter again and again and come out of with fresh eyes and fresh realizations. It is a stewardship parable. It is about how we take care of what we have been given. But part of reading it has to be realizing that we have been given more than just money that needs to be taken care of appropriately. We have been given an entire world full of people who need to be taken care of appropriately. Amen.